Welcome to One Nation Radio, hosted by Richard Ladd and James Boyd. If you would like to become a part of the nation, email us at radio1nation@gmail.com. You can contact us using Twitter at One Nation Radio, at DangerRich32, or at JamesBoydONR. We are also on iTunes as well. You can go to onenationradio.podomatic.com and subscribe to the show with the iTunes button on the right-hand side. And after all that, go visit foreverwrestling.tumblr.com for instant streaming, much more. Now that you've heard how to reach us, let's get to the show.
One Nation Radio!
Welcome to the 13th episode of One Nation Radio. This is Richard Ladd, and I'm joined by my fellow tag team champion of wrestling radio, James Boyd. James, what's going on with you, man?
Not much, man. Just ready to go.
Alright, and we have a new guest host. Guest host, introduce yourself to the people.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Josh Smith. Very honored to be on the show.
Alright, we appreciate it. Josh is our first guest host for the wrestling, as we say.
Josh, yeah, basically, I don't like that you call it wrestling like what? That.
You're in Florida. It's wrestling.
Yeah, it's basically like a thing that was kind of associated with WCW. But every new guest host we get on the show, we want to kind of get them familiarized with our listeners and all that. And Josh is one of our listeners. If you guys want to, you know, in the future, if you want to hop on the show, just hit us up. Josh, I just want you to go through, you know, some of your favorite wrestlers. Tell us how long you've been a fan, maybe a favorite match or two, and the type of wrestling you're a fan of.
Okay. Some of my favorite wrestlers, I think growing up, I was a big, big, big fan for Ultimate Warrior. Not sure who wasn't, you know. Definitely a big fan of his. But, you know, when I got older, I'd have to say, definitely, I was intrigued by, say, Mick Foley, especially the stuff he did in Japan, like in the early 90s, like with the death matches and all that. That was always something that was crazy to me, right. You know, because back then I was still a mark.
Yeah.
So I was thinking this guy was really killing him. So, I mean, technically he was, but I didn't understand.
Look, ain't no technically.
They're all killing themselves. It's called wrestling.
yeah, but this guy was, you know, getting thrown on C4 and stuff, and I was like, what is up with this guy?
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I think some of my favorite wrestlers, I think, of all time, definitely, you know what, I'm definitely a big CM Punk fan. I like some of the stiffer wrestlers, like, what's his name? You guys ever seen Mitsuhara Misawa?
I've heard of him. I've never seen him, though.
Yo, he died in the ring, actually, unfortunately, but man, he's one of the best that ever was. I'm a big fan of, like, Samoa Joe,
right.
You know, all the guys that are just real, like.
Yeah, I put jams on the Samoa Joe a little, like, probably like a year ago, maybe, like, just, like, showing the different stuff on YouTube, like, this big, like, this fatter guy just flying through the air, and, you know.
He definitely can wrestle, but, like, you know, it's hard to, it's something that you're like, how are you going to package that to everybody?
Yeah.
You know, there's only certain people that are going to appreciate that, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, Triple H even said one time, if that guy could get in shape, maybe they would bring him into WWE and put a title on him, but he was like, but Vince probably would never do it.
Yeah.
He's not really marketable, but he's got the talent, you know? But yeah, I've been a fan ever since I was a little kid, honestly. Like, I can't remember a time when I haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 24 years now. I think, some of my favorite matches, definitely almost any, like, serious street fight that Foley's been in, especially the one with Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God.
We watched that, like, last month.
Yeah.
The I Quit match, obviously, with Rock at Royal Rumble, that's a serious match.
14-year anniversary, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made that man tap out, or that man quit.
And I'm not sure what some of my other favorite matches are. I've got so many to name, but I guess one that pops up in my head just right now is probably Stone Cold Bret Hart, WrestleMania 13.
That's that's a great match, too.
Or was that WrestleMania 13?
Yep, it was. Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
The kind of wrestling you say you like was more like in the street fights and, you know, the hardcore type stuff, or
actually, you know what? No, the truth is I like stuff that's really technical. You know, I like some of the wrestlers I didn't mention that. Like, I like guys like Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero,
mm-hmm.
anything that was the cruiserweight matches back in WCW, like fast paced stuff like that.
Right.
especially Japanese wrestling. Like, I've never been able to follow it extensively because I don't speak Japanese.
Yeah.
But
and we ain't over there, you know.
yeah. But everything from the early 90s, from All Japan, any of the All Japan, like, like stuff that I could catch on tape, that stuff is, like, gold. It's way, way, way better than what we see in America, like,
right. Significantly. All right. But, you know, we're going to go ahead and get the show started now. We know about Josh. The Royal Rumble's coming up Sunday, 26th annual. You know, two big main events. We got the Royal Rumble itself, and we got CM Punk versus The Rock. We're going to start with CM Punk versus The Rock because it's the biggest match since Once in a Lifetime. Josh, what's your thoughts, the initial thoughts on when you heard that, you know, it was finally going to be official? Like, Punk versus Rock.
What were my initial thoughts when I heard it was going to be official?
Yeah.
Oh, that they're going to take the title off Punk?
Yeah, I think that's what we're all kind of figuring. You know, I mean, it's been, you know, 432 days. Do you want to see his streak end?
No, not at all. I think it should keep going, to be honest.
Right.
That's the biggest selling point on his heel run right now, and I think it's awesome. It's definitely like a Ric Flair-esque kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy should not be champion anymore. Like, at all. But he is, and it's awesome.
James, how about you? Did you, like, do you want to see Punk's reign come to an end?
I don't necessarily want to see it end, however, I don't want to see, I don't, you know, but I understand where it's going as far as what they're trying to build, you know, for the company's sake. Like, as far as, it kind of sucks that this guy this person's held this belt for, you know, for over a year, and he's been going to WrestleMania, and he's not going to have the belt, and he has to figure out, and we just still don't know what's going to happen with him. But at the same time, it's just like, the money event, that is The Rock as far as the drawing to WrestleMania and how much money he drew last year by being in this match with Cena. And the only thing that made people want to come back and spend that kind of money again would be them for the belt for higher stakes. And you kind of understand it. Now, as far as you know, me, when I realized it was going to happen, I realized it was going to happen the second we found out that he wasn't going to be able to wrestle TLC. That's when I was like, okay.
All right.
Like, because they're not going to put the belt on Ryback and have him fight The Rock. That's not going to happen.
Placeholder.
Yeah. but I will say this: the absolute rampage that CM Punk has been in, as far as his promos since probably like the week or two before TLC, like he's on an epic run. Like he's on all time great run of his promos. It's killer promos over and over and over.
It's like he's rolling out to SmackDown and just, you know, just laying killer.
Like
promos.
That man's like, for me, he's in the pantheon now. I already thought he was like one of the best. Like now he's on like the Mount Rushmore of like promo guys for me.
Yeah.
Yo, his promo that he did in Tampa was so hardcore that like superstar Billy Graham was like ranting.
Yes,
like
he was a mark out there.
He marked.
Jericho called him out. Yep. shouts out to superstar Billy Graham. I hope he's okay.
Something like, what did Jericho say to him? He said something to the effect of, "He's like, dude, why
calm
are
down
you
and stop
a
being
mark?
A mark." Yeah, he's like, just hold on, you know, stop being a mark, basically. But I feel like, you know, CM Punk just, you know, I don't want to see the reign end because I've become such a huge Punk fan. Like, just like I was like, when I first, like, you know, the whole thing with Punk, it was like, how come I didn't see this earlier? Like, as soon as it hit. But I don't want to see it end, but I, like James said, I recognize it kind of has to. But he's going to be in a good position no matter what between this next year and a half. Like, he may become, like, you know, one of those guys that goes above the belt eventually.
Yeah, but you know what I think? I don't disagree with taking the belt off him, but I think it's stupid to put it on Rock. Except, well, not stupid because I agree with what James was saying about having the money draw for Mania.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think necessarily that match needs the belt as much as, say, a new guy, like maybe, say, a Ryback needs the belt to solidify himself, you know?
Right. But that's what they got the World Heavyweight title for. Like, you know, they give them that belt.
Whoever ends that streak, though, that would be such a bigger deal than just being champion, because they're the guy that ended Punk's streak. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Next question. Will this top John Cena versus The Rock? Like, I don't mean, you know, like, as far as the gate, but, you know, taking everything into, you know, I felt like they had they did have a lot shorter time to build it, and, like, as far as how the promo's been, and will the match be better, and will it be more memorable, and then, what do you think, Josh?
I think the promo level's probably been better, but on one level, because I think both guys are better on the mic, but it hasn't been as... Even though technically it's personal, it doesn't feel as real as what Cena and Rock were throwing at each other. I kind of think those guys actually have real beef.
They were digging each other a little bit. Like, you know, those guys must have massive egos. Like, between
I don't think the match is going to be. I think the match will be a lot better than the one they had at Mania between Rock and Cena, because that match really wasn't that good.
No, I mean, I felt like it was like a moment in time, kind of, and what we could see out of them, they maximized their potential, because I know I love the match, like, I've watched it a couple times. Yes, it's like, as far as, you know, it's not a technical marvel, but I'm saying, we never really looked to The Rock or Cena for that, so they did, you know, they did what they did as far as, you know, the near falls and, you know, the drama, the mocking, and, you know, it was like, it was a fever pitch.
You're not going to be able to put two 250 plus pound guys in a ring together and get a better match than that, typically.
Did you guys hear that Rock pulled his hamstring?
Yes, and that makes it more impressive. When Cena dropped that leg drop from the top rope on him, Rock pulled his hamstring, or like tore his hamstring, and he finished the rest of the match like with that, so that's like even more impressive. Like, because you wouldn't have even noticed. Like,
I didn't know that at all.
But what do you think, James? Like, will it top it?
I don't know. As far as expectations go, probably not, because it was such a short build. But we'll see. If you were. There's no doubt in my mind that if you throw CM Punk and The Rock a full year to work on something and build towards it, it will be bigger. It could be bigger as far as the amount, how creative it is compared to what happened last year. But, I mean, considering that they only had, literally from the time TLC happened, where he cut that promo, or CM Punk cuts that promo at TLC,
he shows up wearing the knees to faces shirt.
Yeah, like that's been it. Like, they've had a Rock show up on SmackDown for this. Come on now.
Yeah, like they had to do something. Like, they were just like, you know, trying to squeeze it all in.
Like when we see Royal Rumble, when they cut to the promo for that being the last match, like, that's gonna be so epic looking.
Yeah,
it's probably gonna look better than that WrestleMania when they had for Rock and Cena.
But you know what? There's one big difference between a John Cena and a CM Punk, and it's simply the fact that CM Punk as a wrestler can lead a match, whereas Cena doesn't have that ability. And in that match with Rock, he had to lead the match, and he's not good at that. It's not saying he's not a great wrestler, because he's talented, but he can't lead a match. Because
he will typically lead.
Correct. Yeah, and I think CM Punk is a master at that. Obviously, you can look at his two big matches with John Cena and see, you know, the evidence of what can happen when he leads another wrestler who's used to following.
Right.
And I think that's what's going to happen with The Rock. I think that it's going to be, because CM Punk is going to push, I think both guys are going to push for this match to be, you know, 5-star caliber. And I think it is going to be, from an in-ring product standpoint, I think it's going to be stellar.
I do too. Like, you look at the card for that pay per view, and you look at the. I mean, I even know the WrestleMania is an hour, drains about an hour out of it.
Right.
You look at the rest of that card. Like, it's Team Hell No Match, the whatever Divas match you're going to throw out there, and
Miz Cesaro on the pre-show, which should be on the real show.
Like, just on the show. Period. Like, there's not much on there, so it looks like they're going to go like a half hour.
Yeah. is going to be on, you know. In my opinion, it has a chance to, but the fact of it being WrestleMania, it Cena versus Rock is untoppable in that sense. It's the reason why, you know, we say, you know, Money in the Bank, you know, was good, but imagine had that been at WrestleMania. Like, it takes it to a whole nother level.
Well, that's almost like a thing to where I don't know if you can even do that at WrestleMania, the whole idea of what they did.
Yeah, the hometown thing.
Like you throw in the hometown thing of, one, the fact of, for one, you throw it, they're not going to open up Soldier Field and wrestle in Soldier Field in the middle of March. It's freezing cold, probably still.
You know, they out there going out there in jumpsuits.
Yeah, wrestling in jumpsuits. Then, that's another reason that I'm kind of worried about how this works out at WrestleMania 2029, as far as, like, how cold is it going to be up there in Jersey?
No, it's going to be cold. Like, I don't think they thought this one through very well.
Oh, I think they have. I think they just don't care. They want the biggest market they possibly could find. They say, we'll go for it. Like, I'm fully expecting, like,
Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas. I think it'll be Cowboys stand for WrestleMania 30. I'm sorry. Yeah, for WrestleMania 30. That's why they decided to go and do New York for 29.
Yeah.
Like, because where else can you go now? Because even though they always wanted to go.
They should have done the Garden, really, for 30.
Well, they're not doing stadiums, basketball stadiums anymore.
Yeah, they're not doing non-stadiums for WrestleMania.
Yeah, but it's tradition, at least. I feel like they should have still done it for every 10, like they have been doing.
Yeah, but it's just like, it doesn't fit now.
It's not the money. The money making potential. Like, if you, like, okay, how do I say this? How they say when you give a dog, like, what's the situation? Like, you give a dog steak to eat and they'll never want to eat kibble anymore. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, the gate they can have for the anniversary, just an arbitrary number of having a round number of 5 or 0 behind it, they're going to break in as much money as they possibly can.
Quick, this wasn't written in the show sheet. Do we expect a clean finish?
Oh, a clean finish?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah, the Rock's going to win clean.
What about you, James?
I want to say yeah, but I feel like for some reason, like, it's been bugging me, like, Brock is something just somewhere lurking. He's due for WrestleMania. Right. So it's like, I don't know, like, would they... I think Rock and Brock would be stupid, but...
Same here.
At this point, because there's no lead into other than, like, okay, they wrestled before, like, years ago.
Who cares?
And
I'm gonna
wrestle, like, again. Like, Brock ain't here for that. Like, me and two guys ain't daring this for big stakes.
Yeah.
But I'm just gonna go ahead and say no. The probability is that there's gonna be clean. It'll be a pure finish.
Yeah, a pure finish.
As the Undertaker says.
You know, if this finish ain't pure, you know, we gonna have to come see about it, you know. Somebody's going to interfere. It's not the Shield, but somebody will interfere. Mr. Brad Maddox, I think, will be making an appearance.
You mean as a ref, you mean?
He'll be doing, like, I don't know what he'll be as. He might be on commentary. He might just show up, you know, with his camera. He may come dressed to fight. He could be a ref.
I bet you Rocky
Brad Maddox will have a role in this thing, and it'll roll over to Elimination Chamber, where I think Rock will claim the title.
What were you saying, Josh?
Rocky Johnson is going to interfere.
Rocky Johnson?
Rocky Johnson alive?
Yes.
I mean, look.
You know, I wasn't sure if he was alive either, so I had to, like, second guess whether I was going to say that or not.
like, if I had to, like, look, you're like, wow, it must be one of Undertaker's druids. Like, no, but, you know, I am, like...
Hey, you know they had that numbers thing on there, right? You know they said only two people have won for the number one spot, and they only showed Shawn Michaels, right? You know who the other person is, right?
Benoit.
Oh, it's Benoit.
They don't play about that Benoit.
Yeah, it'd be like, we will not have anything to do with Benoit.
Did they even sell WrestleMania 20 DVDs?
I have one. That's the reason I bought it, just to have it, you know. But
you know they did the encyclopedia this year, and they included a whole, not even just a section, but an entire page dedicated to Benoit.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, people in the company don't know why they did it. But yeah, they got it's like a whole entire section just dedicated to Benoit and the WWE Encyclopedia this year.
Well, does everybody that's, like, important and majors or two, like, they're to the company have their own page?
Everyone's in it. Like, you know, like, it's kind of like a real encyclopedia, but you know how, like, sometimes you flip open and it's just a double page devoted to one person.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. It's weird.
Well, maybe it's a thing that we're like, oh, look, it's an encyclopedia, so we have to, like, we can't just, you know, we can't KGB this part, but we will not mention that he's in the book.
Yeah,
like
y'all gonna have to find this yourselves.
Yeah, like, you have to, like, yeah, it's in there. Go find it. It's Waldo.
Yeah. One more thing, before we wrap up this segment. What do you guys think of the Shield being banned? And, you know, I feel like the Shield's, like, impact has been, like, immense, massive. Yeah. These guys have showed up and just whooped, drug everybody, damn near. They were victorious at TLC. They're probably the best thing to come to the company since, you know, the CM Punk storyline that brought him to prominence. Like,
man.
Yeah.
Like, them being banned, like, that throws, you know, that whole, you know, all right, Shields is going to come out there, and he's either working for The Rock or CM Punk.
The thing that bothers me about it is this fact of, like, I love everything they're doing. The only thing I'm mad about is the fact that they don't have a match or a Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Like, see them entering? Could they enter the Rumble?
Something. Like, because I always thought the way it was set up, like, the way it was looking, like, they were going to have another like a six man elimination tag match is gonna be like them versus
Sheamus, Orton, and somebody.
Sheamus, Orton, and who was the third person they were beating on? Miz, like something mm-hmm. like that. Miz, somebody they beat on, like whoever the person else. But for whatever reason, I guess they figured the card so loaded. And I guess Rockin'.
That's
gotta
be something they're saving for
that's
WrestleMania.
That's what really makes me believe that like Rockin', CM Punk going for the gusto.
Yeah. They may go out there, you know, and just tear the house down.
But you know what? I think Shield will probably, if they don't interfere in that match in some capacity, they're going to have some sort of major role in the actual Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And I could literally see them, all three of them, being in the final four.
Like, I could see them, like, jobbing Cena or something like that. Like, they're going to job somebody. Like, watch, like, they job Sheamus or Orton.
Yeah.
And, like,
and throw them out the ring.
Watch it come down to, like, Orton and Cena.
Oh, it's going to be Ryback. Ryback's going to be dominant, and they're going to come out of nowhere and just, like, take him out again. They're going to, like, do the triple power bomb out of
Ryback was the third person I was forgetting.
Oh,
right. The person they had even more than anybody. Yeah, yeah. Been, like, but...
Anytime they want to perform a true power bomb on Ryback is fine with me. I'm not, you know, the biggest Ryback, you know, guy or whatever, but that's going to wrap up our first segment. We'll be back. One Nation Radio.
One Nation Radio!
Welcome back to One Nation Radio. We're going to get into our second segment now, exclusively talking about the Royal Rumble. As we crank to this TI, you know. Hey. you know, if you ain't got that trope, man, go get it. Royal Rumble. One of my favorite events as a kid. I specifically remember the 97 Royal Rumble in particular when Bret Hart threw Stone Cold out and he hid under the rope. And then, you know, one like a dirty scoundrel just, you know, cheated and you know, and Bret Hart, it starts the whole thing of him being screwed. Like, in retrospect, that was the greatest thing that ever happened. Like, but we're going to go into the Royal Rumble. The guys that have been confirmed, there are 20 spots. We're going to go through, basically. I'm going to name each guy. You guys give me a yes or no, a la Daniel Bryan.
Whether or not they're going to win.
Whether they have a shot at winning.
Okay.
I'll just start right from the top. John Cena.
Yes.
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 Is it yes? All right. Randy Orton. No.
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 Sheamus. Yes.
Yeah.
No. He won the last year.
Yeah, but he could still maybe. Probably not.
You know, they're rumored the Sheamus-Randy Orton thing, so... Just keep that in mind.
I feel like they're going to wrestle each other, but it won't be. It'll be like later Randy Orton will turn heel. It'll turn heel. Like I don't think they're going to put the belt on. Put a belt on Orton until like maybe a year, like maybe like 6 months from now. He's still in the doghouse.
Next guy, Dolph Ziggler. Yes.
No.
No, because I think he'll be champion when he cashes it in, so he won't need to.
Yeah,
Heath Slater.
Help. No. Like,
yes, right? The three-man band, you know? Next guy, Jinder Mahal.
Same thing.
No.
Of course not.
Drew McIntyre. No.
Read above previous statements.
Antonio Cesaro. No.
No.
No, but no. If this was a meritocracy, he should be. He's been amazing since they. Since
look, he them. Deserves to get to like the Final Four or something like that.
Yeah, he should definitely be one of those last guys.
He's going to be one of those Rick Martel figures. He's going to come in early and be that Iron Man who's in the top six for sure.
Could be. Because he's also going to be wrestling the pre-show, so he'll be fresh by the time he comes
out. That pre-show match is going to be over in like 4 minutes.
Wade Barrett. No. I'm bored to death of Barrett, always. But what about you, James?
No.
No. Miz. No.
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 Ryback. Yes.
No.
Does he have a chance? Yeah. Is he going to? Probably not.
I'm going by whether or not I can actually envision him being in WrestleMania for a belt. The answer is no. Now, I feel like he's going to be in WrestleMania, but he's going to be in that whatever match they come up with to have 10 people out there that they always do.
Now, I feel like they're going to set him up with a, I feel like they deserve to, like, after the year he's had, I feel like they will give him some sort of
match. They'll give him either Big Show or The Shield.
Yeah, those kinds of matches make more sense than, like, the random cluster match, you know?
Yeah. Titus O'Neil. No.
Who's that?
Titus O'Neil.
No, I'm just playing.
Millions of no's.
Millions of no's. Darren Young, hell no.
No.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
You said that the other night too. I'm like Darren Young is so corny. Like let's just big up Titus O'Neil for carrying that tag team on his back.
Yeah, he's doing the best he can with what he got, and they ain't gave him much.
Kane. He's gonna throw a bunch of people out, but he won't win. Ultimately, the story of his Royal Rumble career.
Yes. Same there.
Who's that? Kane?
Kane?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, nah, he's still.
Daniel Bryan. I'll say yes, he has a shot.
No.
Again, if it was a meritocracy, he would have a shot, but the way they've been out having this man get buried and kick all these pins, meanwhile he's getting pops like he's a, like he's a big drawer. I don't know. It's a no, but he should. I feel like they've underutilized him.
I'll tell you what else, too. He's going to get eliminated quick. He won't be in the match very long, I bet.
The Great Khali. Hell no.
Yeah.
No.
Come on, how could he not? He's the biggest guy in the match.
Luke. We would probably have to worry about Khali eliminating himself before. And
since we were just talking about Kane and Daniel Bryan, I'm gonna say hell no.
All right, this guy, he, in my opinion, he doesn't have a shot in hell at winning, but he's definitely gonna give us a highlight because he did it last year. Kofi Kingston.
Agreed.
Poor Kofi.
He'll be in that 10 match, that 10 man WrestleMania match though.
Yeah, that makes sense.
20th year.
Yeah.
Except for this, you guys heard about Intercontinental Cup, right?
Yeah, they're doing something like main event. They're doing like it's gonna be like six guys. It's gonna be a tournament, and they're basically gonna end up one of them is gonna end up fighting Barrett or something.
And
like
what
that.
Elimination Chamber?
Probably no, the way actually, lining no. up. I so don't wait, know.
It'll probably lead into Mania.
Yeah, WrestleMania, could. Probably.
Either of the Rhodes Scholars. No.
No.
No, you ignoramuses.
You're welcome.
But Sandow is another guy who I think they're gonna make him look pretty good in the Rumble. And he'll last for a while. He'll probably team up with all the other heels and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew about this, but I didn't. Apparently, they're throwing together an 8-man NXT tournament, and the winner will get a spot in the Royal Rumble. Does that, mythical wrestler, hopefully Cassidy is Ohno, does he have a chance at winning the Royal Rumble?
No, nobody from NXT does.
Well, is Is Tyson still doing NXT stuff?
He's out. Remember? Knee.
That's right.
Knee. Damn. Do we see Big... Another... I'm sure you know
Biggie Langston?
Do we see Langston in the Royal Rumble by any chance? To have a big stare down with Ryback?
I think he'll probably be in the... he'll probably be in the Rumble, for sure.
All
right. I can see that. Because I feel like if they're going to throw Ziggler out, they need to throw him out there to be like a protect him.
Alright.
Like, so, like, he can help him last in there longer, and then eventually somehow...
Somebody will catch him.
One of them get thrown out, and the next one gets followed, thrown out, looking incredulous on this, like, I got thrown out, I can't believe you got thrown out, and his ass gets thrown out, too.
Yeah.
And they out there taking the ass back to the, locker room.
Alrighty. So we have possible winners. Who's your Royal Rumble winner, James?
John Cena.
Says that like it hurt. How about you, Josh?
CM Punk.
CM Punk. You want to go ahead and explain why you think CM Punk will win the Rumble?
From every single report I've seen so far, from what it seems, it looks like they're going to go ahead and do the Royal Rumble as the main event. And for the last few months, they've been saying that CM Punk rocks in the main event. And in my mind, the only way I think that they can justify having that go on after is if CM Punk loses the belt. And I think he's going to come in as number 30 and win the whole shebang. And everyone's going to be like, you know, he's going to be that last 30.
I'll give it to you. Entrant. I never heard that idea before.
Now here's my thing. Now... How does he get that 30th spot unless, like, if they use Brad Maddox saying that he works for the company as, like, an official and he's able, like, to get a slot for him, then that would make a lot of sense because, like, you know, recently...
they're saying this thing, like, anybody can answer.
Yeah, they're not gonna like, explain it. It's WWE. It's just going to happen.
It's like, oh, there's CM Punk coming out. What's he doing here? He won!
Like,
remember that time when Jericho ended up in the Elimination Chamber after he lost his title that night and then won the other title?
Yes,
made
I
no
know
sense.
What you're talking about, yep.
What year was this?
This was 2008, I want to say.
So it was like the first year Elimination Chamber pay-per-view or was
or
like just one random?
I think it was just a six-pack challenge, actually. I don't think it was Elimination Chamber.
Oh, that's right. You know, you're right. It was that championship scramble night. He lost his title in one and then won the other one.
The same night that he lost... Didn't he lose to Shawn Michaels or something like that? All right, you remember when Shawn Michaels beat the hell out of him?
And
remember that
street
match,
fight?
That street fight match? Okay. That same night, Jericho ended up winning the belt.
Yeah.
What the shit? Yeah, so, you know, you beat to a bloody pulp, and you may never be the same again. Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to beat a hold of all these people and beat them and win the title. How does that work?
You know what? That's Jericho before he had the shiny jacket. So.
Yeah, that was just like, you know, Huel, just Jericho, you know.
That's back when Jericho was, like, not even, like, on that, like, quote-unquote level. Like, I mean, it was, like, you know how they all always, like, the book Jericho, like, he was always, like, a, like, he wasn't actually as good as, like, for example, the way he beat, he became undefeated champion. Yeah. He didn't, like, beat them, both of them dudes straight up, like, he won on circumstances that caused him to just win it, and he lucked into it, and you're like, oh, there you go.
I wanted a Royal Rumble. It's kind of it's looking like everything's pointing towards John Cena. I can't even go away from that.
Like if not John Cena and not CM Punk, then who? You know what I'm saying? Like we're gonna second year in a row we're gonna have somebody win the Royal Rumble and then go to fight in the opening match of WrestleMania. And
I'll say Daniel Bryan if not any of them. Maybe they give him some comeuppance from last year.
Daniel Bryan Ziggler would be amazing in WrestleMania.
Yes, it would. That's what with my I would love that. Who are some of the people we expect to see returning? Like who would make you mark out if they showed up? No Chris Benoit jokes.
Well, shit. I'll tell you this right now. The only person that came to mark out is like Undertaker shows up. Yeah, I'm out there.
Taker, I think Taker for sure. Is going to be in it because I heard reports that, and maybe, you know...
Well, why he always got to be number 30? Like,
because
he can't just be number 10.
Because it builds up the anticipation of him being out there. You know, you just come out there, you're like... Especially if it's not even announced, he just shows up, and you're like, wow. Yeah. it takes off to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You know who I'd mock out the biggest for, and it's not because I'm a fan of them, but just because I would be more shocked than anybody else. China was in the
Royal Rumble. Wow, China!
I don't know about that. I don't think she's ever doing any business with WWE again.
Mick Foley might be in it since he's about to get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I'd like to see Booker T roll out there
again.
You know, I'm a huge Booker T fan.
I'm a huge Booker T fan, so yeah, for sure.
I'm a fan of him on commentary. At this point in his career, I like him on commentary.
No, his commentary was terrible, man.
Not for the sake of unintentional comedy. For the sake of unintentional comedy, he's the greatest announcer ever. Oh my goodness, dog.
he's just rag tagging that boy.
He's rag tagging on that boy.
He's whooping on that boy.
If we left a skid mark all over that boy.
you need a Booger T soundboard, basically.
Yes. Shuck it, ducky, quack.
Yep, anytime the diggers are out there. If Shawn Michaels just rolled out of bed and decided I'm back, you know?
Well, yeah, if that's the case, then why not Flair, too?
Yeah, Flair would be in
the
Rumble.
You know, the thing about, here's the thing, though. We were talking about this off air about I better not ever see Jerry Lawler wrestle again in a match. Like, I understand that they had Flair come out there for Raw 1, or I'm sorry, for the Slammy 20th. Edition of Raw.
Yeah.
And he got into it with Shield and everything, but that wasn't an official match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, if I ever see him come out there, I better see Shawn Michaels sweet shooting music in that man.
And I better see him take right behind him and say, "What you doing, defending you being in your retirement? I retire you. You retire him. Y'all both better not show up nowhere."
You know what? I rethink what I said earlier. There's one person that if he really did show up in the match, I would mark out harder than for anybody else. And it's not going to happen. But if Edge was in the Royal Rumble, surprise entrant.
Why not Austin? They both got stenosis.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Austin showed up in it, that'd be crazy.
Wow. I think if they were ever going to have
they would say that for next year.
Say that for next year and have him come out there and win it.
And fight CM Punk.
No, come out there, rock Austin for the fourth time in WrestleMania.
Rock versus Austin.
Rock Austin.
The final chapter.
Yes.
I was always better than you. You guys are laughing, but that happened in my WWE universe, so come on.
Wow. WWE 13, yeah.
I lose my damn mind. Look, you know how many people that tell them that, you know, I'm a 25-year-old man, and they out here telling me, you know, and I have to deal with my friends and have to admit that I watch wrestling still. Like, if that match happens, all my friends that tell me this is.
I'm like, well, now you want to get back down.
I guarantee they'll be with me whenever WrestleMania 30 pops off. Like, I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Oh man. Basically, we've run into a dead end with a feud. John Cena and Dolph Ziggler. It's still going on. There hasn't been an official resolution. What happens with that? Since Ziggler's coming in number one, his message is that he's there to eliminate Cena. What's going to happen with this?
I think that he'll last on there. Biggie Langston will be in the Royal Rumble. He'll last on there. Those two will, you know, basically buy their time till whenever Cena comes out. Some type of fortuitous way, Cena eliminates both of them, and that's the end of the rubber right there.
Go to hell.
Because Ziggler is going to go off to probably cash in.
Mm-hmm.
After that last man standing match,
which we'll get to later.
Yeah, so I don't. Yes, yeah, so I don't want to step on that too much. So I feel like that'll be the end of it from there, and then they'll go on their separate ways, which they should, as far as you know, WrestleMania is concerned.
Yeah,
I don't even see them being in the same elimination chamber match. Like that's how far going it'll be. Like, just completely don't
disassociate.
Yeah, y'all don't know each other.
And obviously this will not happen, but if this was like Bizarro World, if I could book it, this is what I would have happen. I would have Dolph, like you said, cash in, and then I'd have him win the Rumble, and I'd have it champion versus champion, WrestleMania. Mm. Obviously, that doesn't work logistically, but I'm tired of having two world champions. I mean, it's stupid.
But the only thing I like about it is, like, you know, WWE's not going to get rid of their belt. I always want to see the big gold belt around. Well, yeah. It's always been the more attractive looking title, and it just looks like, you know, I just love how it looks.
My thing is the fact of the biggest guys in the company, whether it's CM Punk, whether it's or whether it's John Cena, those guys aren't going to show up on that tape Tuesday for SmackDown for Friday. So they're not going to be out here like there's the way their travel schedules are. Like, there's no way they're like Vince is going to try to, you know, tell them, yeah, you know what, I need you to double your dates. Yeah. Like, just double your dates. Why? Just for the sake of also having only one belt. Like, it's never going to happen like that.
Yeah.
Even though they got rid of the brands. Like,
you guys, you remember back in the day, Hogan used to sell out a stadium, and on the other side of the country, Honky Tonk Man sold out the stadium, holding the Intercontinental title belt.
Yeah.
Every night. He had the longest Intercontinental title reign because people wanted to see him get beat.
Yeah. Like, my whole thing is, like, at this point now, the way it is, like,
it is long gone.
The big gold belt is the new Intercontinental belt, and then, you know, it slides down from there. Like, the Intercontinental belt is the 3 belt, and then the US belt is, like, the 4th belt. Like, that's just anybody can have that.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird to see how good Cesaro is, and he has a belt. It's like, he's better than y'all thought he was, isn't he?
Like, Like, man, we thought Cesaro was, like, the wackest thing walking. Then all of a sudden, I was like, this man matches are good.
Like, this man,
and all of a
like,
sudden, he started cutting good promos.
This man consistently puts on, like, consistently as far as in-ring performance, like, he is already elite. Like, I can't think of 5 better wrestlers than him since he's, like, went on this run.
Like, what day you going, like, to jail now? Hell.
It's him, CM Punk, Ziggler, and I can't think of anybody else is even touching those 3. Well, I mean, he's been in a tag match, so it's kind of hard to, you know, differentiate. Like, but I mean,
well, Del Rio now. We're going to have to throw him in there.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah,
we'll get to that later.
But yeah, like, Del Rio is on some. Yeah.
Well, you know what? With Cesaro, I can almost guarantee you right now, this is just my call, he's going to be Mr. Money in the Bank next year.
Oh, yeah. Like, he should be.
Yeah. Like, I can't think of anybody. Like, he's just leapfrog Cody Rhodes, like in Sandow. Like,
where they found him, like, that's like the find of the year for them. Like, him and Ryback, like, those are the 2 biggest finds they found. Like, for the internets, like, that's Cesaro's that guy. And then for, like, you know, for just anybody, get kids and everything, Ryback was another find. Like, they did a good job. Like, they've done a very good job with talent, with new talent lately.
Yeah. Ryback, Shield, Cesaro, like, fresh talent, just like.
And wait till, just wait till Fandango comes out.
Oh, you dumb? No, wait till Cassie Zono comes out. Then y'all see what it really is. But, Josh, you had anything else to add?
Cassie Zono, though? Yo, there's only one reason why Cassie Zono's not on TV right now.
His body?
Yeah, bro. He's so overweight. I can't believe it.
Really? He gained the weight back? Because I know last time I saw him, like, on NXT, he was just, like, you know, there, but he needs to, like, get cut.
Yeah, but I saw him live, like, last month, and he wears that jacket, that, like, zip-up jacket for a reason, because he's hiding some rolls under there for real. Damn. Like.
Damn. I guess that's the reason why we won't see him, you know, in the land of the Giants in CM Punk. But that's going to wrap up our second segment. We'll be back with the Alberto Del Rio Hour. All right? This is One Nation Radio.
One Nation Radio!
It's just something about that music, man. It's just something about the NWO's music. It's just so perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Makes you feel nostalgic.
You know, I just, you know, I'm just visualizing spray paint.
In the words of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is the days of yore. Right?
Yeah. You know? I'm just visualizing, you know, a 30-on-1 beatdown, you know, and some spray paint with the letters NWO going on somebody's back.
Yep.
Yes. But, this last segment has been exclusively reserved for Alberto Del Rio, who has been as great as a face that we've seen come along in a long time, and it came out of nowhere.
Whoa. You killed Santa Claus, though.
That's when you're still a heel. Don't worry about that.
You were still a heel.
That was like, you look at how that match went, And you can honestly make the case that man was a face at that point in time too. Like you go into the TLC pay per view and then you go into that. Like he was always upset that he hit Santa. So was Rodrigo. And then he was out there trying to defend himself the whole entire time. Rodrigo goes out there and gets stole by Mick Foley claws. Yeah. And then he catches the claw from Mick Foley claws, Del Rio. But meanwhile, you had all those gags happening where, you know, he throws the bear at that man. Like, Rodrigo's out there giving that man them garbage props. So, yeah, like, people just still had to boo him, but he was still playing a fake, I'm not bad now. Y'all ain't want to hear me.
Yeah. Like,
also, St. Nicholas is a saint.
Yeah.
Yo, sorry to cut you off, but I'm reading something online right now. I don't know if this is true. But two names just got confirmed online, usually from from PW Insider, which usually is pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Carlito and Shelton both are going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Carlito's alive?
Carlito. Wow.
He going to bring apples out there?
Are they gonna bring him out there with Epico and Primo?
You think he still got big ass hair?
I don't know. He might have lost it.
But that's what they're saying.
Wow. Carlito. I haven't seen
They're also saying Dolph Ziggler is going to enter at either number one or number two.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he has to. They jobbed him as far as what happened in Raw. Like, they had a beat the clock, because you didn't watch Raw. They had a beat the clock episode of, you know, Best Time Wins or whatever, and Ziggler won. And the thought was they pulled a Russo swerve type deal where it was like, okay, well, he was going to choose to be like 30. And then Vicky was like, oh, well, no, actually, you get to choose. You get to choose a number, but it's either one or two, and he's sitting there with that boo-boo face, and, you know, he got jobbed.
So.
There's four other people that WWE.com just updated that are going to be in the Rumble that we didn't cover earlier.
Okay.
None of them are going to win, though. Jimmy and Jay Uso.
One of my favorite tag teams.
Brodus Clay.
Oh,
and it looks like Michael McGillicuddy won that NXT tournament.
Oh,
after
my
all.
Gosh. Michael McGillicuddy. Jesus.
If they let that guy do his thing, he'd be, you know.
Look, they need to slap a singlet on him and tell him to grow his hair out. That's what they need to do.
And diet.
And diet blonde.
And cut the beard. And carry around a towel.
Yeah, and chew gum, you know. And do a fisherman suplex.
Yes.
But that to Del Rio.
Del Rio
versus Big Show. The last man standing match they had was epic.
I love their finish.
It told a great story.
I love their finish set.
The dynamic of how it's been built is Del Rio is kind of, you know, he's been outthinking Big Show.
Yep.
And you know, the way they told the story, like, you know, I injured his arm so he couldn't, you know, use it to get this huge table off of him. It was basically moving out of the way to make Big Show beat himself. Which I felt like it protected Big Show because it didn't look like Del Rio.
It's not like he just beat him. It's just like he's unstoppable, but he also gives an injury. Like, it's almost like the situation where, like, I can't knock him out, but I cut him.
Yeah.
So maybe I can make this cut big enough to where I can get him to stop, the ref to stop the fight.
All right. Josh, what have you thought of Del Rio since he's become a face?
You know what? I don't know. I think it's one of those rare cases where, you know, a guy, in my opinion, I didn't think it made sense for them to turn him. I understand why they did it because of the number of faces to heal, like the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think storyline wise, it made very much sense personally. I just, cause they pushed him down our throats so much as a heel.
Right.
And I'm more a fan of the gradual changes, like overnight all of a sudden this guy's wearing, you know, white trunks instead of black.
And he's not driving cars anymore.
I don't know. I'm not the biggest, like, Del Rio mark. I'm not like you guys. You guys love Del Rio.
Yeah, like you didn't see the match with Tensai. Like, Del Rio hit a Hurricanrana on Tensai. He German suplexed him. He has a whole new move set. Like, as far as...
His move set from Mexico, when he was a face, is so much better than his heel moveset. I will say that. I haven't seen too many of his matches right now, but I've seen his matches from Mexico, from like AAA and CMLL, and he was doing some crazy high-flying stuff for sure.
Right.
Yeah, like he had...
He did,
like,
a moonsault from the second turnbuckle.
Exactly.
Like, and didn't hit his feet or anything. Like.
And then a match when they... not the SmackDown that just aired, but the last week's SmackDown... he was in a trip or a six man tag match. Starts off the match, him and Ziggler start off the match, and he puts him into he twists his arm. Ziggler twists his Alberto's arm, and then Alberto he gets out of it by like doing a headstand backflip, and then he puts him on the ground. It looks like he's gonna give him this that second rope moonsault. Moves out the way, he lands on his feet and then spins out of it, and then like rolls out of it. I was like,
Where was this
the previous like 3 years that I've known you as a wrestler? Like, I've never seen before. Like, I was shocked.
And you know, they're not letting him drive his cars to the ring anymore. They're making him look like a kind of common man, like he's like repping for, you know, the Latino people.
Another thing that's interesting about this is how this all coincided with the, like, where the tour dates were set up.
Yes.
Like.
Yes, that was definitely.
They were working.
They're going in Arizona, which is, you know, the big, you know.
You know, Prop 11 and everything, yeah. Anti-immigration. But it was interesting how.
That was a great point.
How they started this out where, you know, it started at TLC. And, you know, you had Big Show picking on, like, you saw it coming. Like, Rodriguez was getting picked on by Big Show.
Or 3MB.
Yeah, and then he comes out of TLC, and then you also throw that part in where he's getting picked on by Big Show. And then next thing you know, like, he has a title match, and they're in Miami. He wins Bun in Miami. Then they're going across, like, they didn't even stop in, like, Atlanta. After, like, they went from Tampa on Raw to SmackDown in Miami. Then they go out to San Antonio for SmackDown. Then they're in, what was the last Raw, or the Raw before that? I'm blanking right now. They had something in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had one in another TV date in San Antonio. Then they just had one, in San Jose, and now they just had one in Sacramento. Like, these are all, like, in states that have huge Latino populations. Like, it seems almost like, as if how they put
and
the belt on him.
Do you notice, like, when they're panning around the crowd, like, they're showing, like young, like, kids, basically, yep. Like, and they're holding, like, Mexican flags, and, like, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's very smart, and it seems very genuine, but we are seeing this stuff.
Yeah, like, it's
well,
just,
well, they gotta do that because of the big disappointment they have with Sin Cara.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also true.
But
you don't even see Ray, and it's like,
Ray's so banged up at this point, I don't think he'll ever be main event again.
Racism in wrestling. this whole thing, it comes back. Josh, you being of Latino descent, how do you see this whole thing, like, you know, with Big Show's comments, you know, basically going on and, you know, everything he's done, you know, in his heel run?
I don't know. I mean, it's entertainment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think, obviously, maybe this is just me as a wrestling fan. I think we're conditioned almost to the point where, like, we're so used to that. Like, you know, with the stuff they were doing a few years ago, like with the Mexicools, where they had Juventud Guerrero and all them, they're riding lawnmowers on SmackDown. And
yeah.
A few years before, they did that with Rey and Conan.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so I'm so used to it that now I think that what they're doing, what he's been saying is, like, pale in comparison to what they've done in the past. So I don't
right.
even think it's that bad.
Like, we're forgetting, like, the entire, like, you know, genre of sport was built on this. Like,
yeah.
Like, why don't we like Antonio Cesaro?
Exactly.
The only reason we don't like Antonio Cesaro is because he's Swiss.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look, I wouldn't have known what a Samoan was, you know, before, you know, aside from the NFL, you know, they wanted to bring these guys out there shoeless and, you know, all this other stuff, like, you know, the Nation of Domination, for example, you know, that's nothing but the Black Panthers and, you
the
know,
Black Panthers
and,
cross
and,
the Nation,
Nation
of
Islam, and, you know, the Disciples of Apocalypse, Dio, the Bikers, and then they had,
Los Barricos,
yep, and now Savio Vega and all those guys. Being a minority in wrestling, like, there's only been one that's been the guy Booker T was, you know, up there too, but he's a whole, The Rock is a whole another level.
He wasn't like the main event draw that he's going to put out there and like, boom, this is our guy, this is a person in our company, like, this is the guy. Like, there's only been one guy that can be like the quote-unquote Hulk Hogan slash John Cena equivalent, and that's The Rock. And it's like, I can see why that's how it works out to where he's the only one. But at a certain point, it's like, okay, you have guys that are very good wrestlers. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I feel like the best wrestler, the best overall package right now has the belt right now, and that's fine with me and whatever. But I'm just saying, like, it's hard to get opportunities when, like, you have biases against you based off of, you know,
like
your consumer. Like, the flat out, like, it might not even be a situation of the company is like, they do this kind of research, and it's like, well, they're not really about that.
Yeah.
Well, remember a few months back, I think we were chilling at the sports bar, and we were watching one of the pay-per-views. Who was wrestling? His name's not Kate Quick anymore. What's his name?
R-Truth.
R-Truth,
they make him do all the dancing.
Remember I told you this is when you're still acting crazy with Lil Jimmy, and I was like, they should have a gimmick where he comes out every week and either wrestles like an old gimmicky black wrestler, like say Coco Beware, or portrays them like he'll dress up like them to get like a rise out of the crowd, and everyone thinks he's doing it to entertain.
Uh-huh.
And after a few weeks, he just like busts out and be like,
he snaps.
I'm done doing like the black stereotype type of thing, you know, and just totally goes heel. Like that's the way I think they should have, you know.
Like I feel like Archer did because that's what they've done.
But you know what's funny about that? By him like snapping off and doing that, then that means another stereotype. That turns him into an angry black man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not shooking it down for you clown motherfuckers no more. Like that still makes it like, oh, so you're an angry black man now. Like so you still can't win.
Yeah, like
but he needs to stop wearing suits with wave caps. That's what he needs to stop doing.
Archer has been one of my favorite wrestlers, you know, like of the past like year and a half. Wish him a speedy recovery. Like he got kind of lost in the shuffle, like it's when they turned back face, but he did awesome heel work, you know, in my opinion, you know, when he showed up, you know, in the Confederate, you know, suit.
I thought
it was absolutely hilarious. Like he's like, I know where I'm at, basically, like, you know, and he was just like marching around, and I have a promo of him when he first turned heel. It was on the Best of SmackDown and Raw. It was just, like, absolutely incredible. Like, you can probably look up some old R-Truth, like, when he was in TNA. And he did
he
that.
Was Ron Killings?
Yeah, he did. Or, yeah, I think he was Ron Killings. He actually won the world title then. And he cut a type of promo that you were talking about, Josh, basically. Like, you know, I see, you know, like, basically, you know, you have to watch for yourself. But why do we have to stick to this, you think? You know, is wrestling too set in its ways, you know?
I mean, the roots of wrestling, as far as popularity, is like it is so intrinsically Southern, and it is so intrinsically working on. I don't at this point in time now. I don't know as much that they think that, you know, status quo as usual will still keep, you know, bashing over the head with overt racism.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, even subtle messages, as much as it is, we understand that this will make certain people feel a certain way, like, make
Speaking
people, like,
that,
feel uncomfortable or whatever about it or whatever, make them feel a certain way about it, so we're going to keep pressing the troll button.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's definitely not as, you know, obvious and explicit as it was in the past, but that may just be due to the fact of his being the era that is PG.
Yeah.
This is one thing that I might add. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this. Maybe I'm off base saying this, but have you guys noticed that there's so many African-American sport athletes who came up, say, like in urban areas, like, say, New York, things like that, who are huge, huge WWE fans, which is weird because, you know, there never was any kind of, like you guys said, a positive major star in the company for all those years.
The Rock. Like,
almost every sport athlete is a WWE fan on some level. Even, like, look at guys like Mike Tyson, Floyd Mayweather, all the basketball players, football players, Lawrence Taylor, all these guys.
Like,
WWE fans.
Because it wasn't entirely necessary, like, to become, just because, you know, you seeing people fight, that's the appeal in itself. But that's like a bonus that, you know, that, oh, snap, The Rock kind of looks like me. You know, that's just a bonus, in my opinion.
Yeah. But, well, the thing when it comes to that is just, like, that's almost like a, well, maybe not at this time, maybe not in the future, but, you know, you go back in time, and, like, when you were a kid, like, it's almost like, you talk about, like, how, you know, you think of your childhood, you know, everybody kind of has, like, a, you know how people talk about rites, you know, rites of passage, everybody kind of goes through the same thing, like, you know, you get your driver's license, you lose your virginity, that sort of thing, like, everybody, like, a way of coming up. Like, one of the universal ways of people, like, coming up, typically, you know, obviously not everything is the same, but, like, generally speaking, like, for, you know, for young boys growing up is they watch, you know, their Saturday morning cartoons and they watch wrestling coming up. So that's always something that they, you know, always come back to, you know, like, so that's one of the things that why you see so many people from all types of, you know, walks of life. Come back and watch wrestling.
Just when we were at Monday Night Raw, like, the demographics are just the people sitting around us. Like, we had, like, an older African-American couple probably in their, you know, mid-50s, early-60s sitting behind us to the left. We had, like, a younger couple in front of us. We had
a Latino family by the side of us. Like,
yeah, it was just like, you know, wrestling hit so many different demographics, and then, you know. But I want to talk about, you know, our experience this week with racism and wrestling, which kind of inspired this topic. We were at a local promotions show, and they had a couple guys come out there, and their gimmick was, you know, I guess they were, you know, quote unquote rednecks or whatever. And
were they based like the Freebirds?
I don't think so. I'd say they're a lot. They're more like the Goblins rather than the Freebirds.
Fair enough.
Their manager was carrying a huge, like, Stars and Bars
Confederate flag.
And me and James immediately looked at each other, and we were like, I don't know if we're being marked out right now, and we're so angry. But the funny thing was, the crowd portrayed that they're being portrayed as the faces, like,
and they're wrestling two black guys. It was funny because it's almost like
we thought the black guys were the faces.
The black guys came out first and came out, like, the two brothers come out first, and they get get cheered. They're not, like, they're not playing as heels. And then, you know, you look around, you see these two come out with looking like
mountain men.
No, looking like something out of a Dukes of Hazzard episode. And with the Stars and Bars and whatever, and they're getting cheered, like, so there's two faces, but
they lose their mind.
It's like, okay,
these guys come out.
All right, this is odd.
And mind, we're in Tampa Bay, Florida, which is a wrestling hotbed, and there is, you know, subtle racism around us all the time.
Subtle.
You know, I don't see it every day.
It's not like Mississippi burning every day, but I mean, like, you know,
it's there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, like, so outright. Like, me and James didn't say a word throughout the whole match, and I was sitting there
blown. Like, really, not the fact that, like, they came out with this gimmick, but, like, really, y'all out here cheering this foolishness.
Like, how are they not the heel? Like,
yeah, that's how I was thinking. Like, how are they not the heel?
Like, I've seen people there, like, they had one chick, and she had, like, a Stars of the Bar shirt on, but she was playing the heel, so it, like, made sense. Like, these are the good guys? Like, I don't understand this. This doesn't compute. And then they win. Like,
yeah,
and no, they were calling them boys throughout the match. Like, come here, boy, and all this other stuff like
and,
that.
And the funniest part about that makes it even funnier is the fact that this show was a charity event.
Yes, for a young lady that had died.
How do you bring up your memory? You put on an event for you where these racist motherfuckers won.
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha.
It was quite an experience.
You got anything to say on that, Josh?
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds crazy. It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, the gangsters were kind of doing the same thing on the opposite spectrum of things.
Mm-hmm. Like New Jack.
Do you remember that New Jack and I think the other guys, Mustafa?
Yeah, Abu Mustafa or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and their whole gimmick was that they were wrestling, like, in Smoky Mountain territory.
Yes, I've heard of this before, yep.
Yeah, and they were, you know, there was blatant racism there. They were the heels.
And they turn around, didn't they get popular or something like that? And then
they got immensely popular up north. But in their own territory, like in Smoky Mountain, dude, they feel like they would after the shows because they played racist black gangsters. Like that was they'd come out to NWA and they would like, you know, they'd do gang signs and stuff like that. And they got people trying to shoot them after the like
Oh, you thought that was cool in there, boy, huh?
Another thing about this is like don't ever underestimate the lack of intelligence going on in wrestling crowds.
Yeah,
like
that. Look, we never claim to say that wrestling fans are the smartest guys. You know, not everybody is.
Not everybody's on the internet.
Yeah, not everybody's like cultured like you know James and myself and Josh.
We were all at that. We were all at you know the Raw show recently on January 7th. I mean, if you just look around the crowd and see what kind of people are there, I'm not trying to talk bad about wrestling fans, but it's a big mix of all kinds of different people, man.
It's like we could drop all these same people in Walmart, like, you know?
See, that's the thing that I was saying when it comes to as far as like how you know how Rich mentioned that you'll see some of everything there. Like there are very few places, to where, you know, like, everybody has, like, a commonality, and the commonality is one thing, and is watching, you know, something, and like, wrestling, for example, where, you know, you'll see some everything, like wrestling, because of it being so broad, and it's such a, you know, universal thing, like, you have so many different, like, socioeconomical differences, and also all these different, you know, types of people in a certain place, and, you know, then it's almost like, is WWE, are they cognizant of that, and are they just, you know, playing on that attention? Like, for example, like, you go to watch a boxing match of people from different nationalities, and, you know, they'll show up, and you see that, you know, people have, you know, pride for, you know, their nationality or whatever.
I've heard, like, people say during Floyd Mayweather fights, they're like, you know, it'll be like a black guy, who like, you know, I don't care who Floyd going for, or they'll see two guys fighting. Well, they'll say a black guy to Puerto Rican fighting. Be like, I don't know either one of them, but I'm going for the black guy. Like, exactly. You know, it's like,
apparently I'm sorry, like,
you guys ever want to see something crazy, you should look up the fight between Riddick Bowe versus Andrew Bellotta, the first fight that they had.
Mm.
And Riddick Bowe was losing the fight, right? Bellotta hit him low like 7 times during the fight.
Wow.
And and you know, Andrew Bellotta is Polish, right? And they're in Madison Square Garden, so like half the crowd's Polish and then the rest of the crowd is like all black. Yo, that place erupted into a real life like riot.
Yeah, right,
you should look up the videos for it because like Jim Lampley's on HBO Sports. He like goes up into the rafters to like get away from the mob.
Wow.
Like Lou Duva gets like stomped almost to death. They take him out on a gurney. People are getting like it's nuts. They tore up the whole entire arena.
Mm-hmm.
And it's racial tension, you know. It's just like a soccer game.
Yeah. Like I don't know. It's a topic we can talk all day about.
I just wish that there was some way to know like. This is intentional or unintentional, or we just...
I just wish, like, Hulk Hogan had given Junkyard Dog a title shot at some point.
Yeah, you know, more examples. All right, let's rattle them off.
Interracial dating of our couples as far as WWE, how they have divas and superstars.
Yeah.
Viscera, the one chick who always Lillian Garcia, that was a good couple.
Oh, man. We got AJ rolling around with Biggie Langston, whatever that may be.
Meanwhile, like there's no way in hell they were like we talked about this on a previous wrestling podcast. There's no way in hell they were actually gonna be a couple. Like you knew like something's gonna happen like Dolph Ziggler's ball. Like they're not about that. Like like I was saying before, like they're not even out Ross Simmons out there with Sable.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, no.
I say quick, shoot from the hip. Greatest or not greatest, it's just, you know, the most racist characters, you know,
most racist characters
you can think of. Or I say, you know, Million Dollar Man and Virgil.
Oh my god.
Let's see.
For sure. That's like up there. Definitely.
Whew.
Him being just a slave master, damn near.
Most racist character, man.
Or just like, you know, like, racist characters you can think of, like.
As well, far as stereotypical,
I mean,
like, or like a person, or a person being
stereotypical. Being they're playing on stereotypes, and you know, I say Junkyard Dog definitely.
K Dog, aka Dog. Conan.
Coco Beware for sure.
Oh my gosh, the list goes on. Kofi Kingston. Yes.
Kofi Kingston. We don't even know if the guy's Jamaican or African or what, or American, like. We don't even know.
Poor guy.
He used to talk with a Jamaican accent.
Yep.
Then,
he still comes out and does the boop, boop, boop every week, but he's still from South Africa now.
Booker T.
Yeah. Sheamus' skin tone.
Yeah. The Great White. You ever notice that? Like,
his Irish temper.
If we're going to start getting into that territory, then we might as well just mention some other politically incorrect, you know, characters. Eugene.
Oh my gosh, that's like Eugene when he played, like he had Down syndrome. Remember the guy?
Brett Dowling, the guy with one leg.
Oh my gosh. Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Yokozuna.
He's not even Japanese.
Yes. And let's talk about the dumb WrestleMania crowd. Once again, wrestling fans, you know, to the intelligence, not to insult everybody, but Bret Hart
WrestleMania 9.
Bret Hart, who is from Canada, was fighting Yokozuna,
who was supposedly Japanese.
Yeah. And they're chanting USA. And we're chanting USA out here. Like,
and Bobby Heenan and Bobby Heenan made light of it. Like, these idiots are talking about chanting USA, and when Bret Hart's Canadian.
Yeah.
As if they knew Hulk Hogan was going to come out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure they did. Look, Hulk Hogan didn't know he was coming out there. who else? Man. The British Bulldog. Like, you know, that I think that's kind of a nationalist thing, but still.
That's a nationalist thing more than anything else.
Oh, well, once you start getting a national thing, you got to mention, like, every Russian wrestler, like, from the 80s.
Oh, my God.
Nikolai Volkov.
The Iron Sheik. Well, that's another thing, like, it's kind of odd about it. Like,
Sergeant Slaughter.
They don't really, Iron Sheik. But they don't really, like, they don't really do that when it comes to, like, Canadians, other than, like, the Mounties.
They did, like, the Hart Foundation, kind of.
When they were heels.
Which
is odd, because they had British Bulldog when they were talking about Del Rio.
That made me think of the 97 Bret Hart storyline, where he was a heel in America, but he was a face in Canada.
Yep.
Yeah, what if they did that with Del Rio, where he was only a face to, like, Mexican folk, but he was a heel everywhere else?
But the thing is, from what I was able to, like, look back and figure out, like,
that was the perfect time.
Bret Hart was a face in every country but America.
Yeah.
Not just only in Canada, every country but America.
Yeah. They wouldn't be able to pull that nowadays.
They couldn't pull that with Del Rio, I don't think.
He's nowhere near as popular.
That's my point. Like, yeah, keep in mind, Bret Hart carried the company for, like, what, 2 years before that whole point.
Yeah. There's got to be a couple we're missing.
Who gives me like 1,000?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't.
We're gonna be here all night.
We'll be here for the whole rest of the weekend if we do.
Yeah, you know, we got the Samoans.
Which ones? Jimmy and Jamie.
The head shrinkers. You know, coming out barefoot and their head.
Way back, you'll find like the Von Erich family. Von Erich was supposed to be a Nazi.
Wow.
And Baron von Raschke was his tag team partner, and they were supposed to be Nazis. I mean, that whole thing going on.
Roddy Piper busting a coconut over Superfly Jimmy Snuka's head.
Which CM Punk made light of, like, in the last month.
Yeah. Jimmy Snuka supposedly having, like, the hardest head possible.
Yep.
That was, like, a whole, you know, play on that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a shame this stuff has happened.
The hits have been coming. It's like Motown and
I see them breaking away from it somewhat, but it'll never go away.
Nope. Not as long as you keep getting that melting pot of culture in every arena.
Yeah. But, you know, we got anything else to add on there today, Josh?
you know, I just want to say one thing. The greatest moment in Royal Rumble history, Maven kicking Undertaker over the ropes in 2002. And then the beating that came after that.
And then the beating, yeah. Yeah, maybe Undertaker did drag that man pretty decent afterwards.
I wasn't watching it, but I don't remember. I have to check that out.
Yeah, Undertaker drugged that man pretty decent, but
yeah, he took him all over the building.
All right, I just want to let everyone know. Make sure you subscribe to the show if you want to hop back on.
Can I interject one thing? Greatest moment, I know he's probably joking. It probably sounds like something y'all just BSing about. For me, the greatest WrestleMania moment was...
Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. it was... for me, it was the tie for Luger and Bret Hart in 94, right?
Yes.
Yeah, really?
They did that awesome.
Yeah.
They did do that awesome.
The timing, you know, and the skill it took to do that, oh my God.
With Luger.
You know what messed it up, though? Was because after they did that, remember a few years later they did the same thing with Cena and Batista on accident?
Yeah, in 2005, and they had to restart the match.
And then Vince McMahon blew out both of his...
Yes.
Blew out his ACL just walking down to the ring.
Oh my gosh.
Blew those quads out.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. Get squad, it.
And Soviet Russia quad tears you.
Yeah. But, I'll say my favorite WrestleMania moment has got to be, Rock, or excuse me. I did it too. Royal Rumble moment. Rock beating the hell out of Mankind with those chairs.
You're not even gonna go to actual WrestleMania like a Royal Rumble match. You
actually okay, I'll go to Royal Rumble match.
I come down with that Royal Rumble.
You can't just go straight to the I Quit match.
Oh my God!
Off the board. Like,
let's see, Royal Rumble. Ric Flair going in there and winning the belt
with a single tear in his
eye. Yeah, with a single tear in his eye.
Like that post game.
That post match promo
was so absurd that you literally see Hint. I watched this in like the last year, where you see Henning and Bobby Heenan sitting back and look at each other and they laughing at what Flair saying because it was so absurd.
Oh, another
above all odds, like
another moment when Hulk Hogan finally got eliminated. And then it's in the same moment, you know, it's the same Royal Rumble when Sid, you know, throws him out, and all of a sudden Hogan being a hater, you know, he's trying to pull him out over the top rope, you know, and then lets Flair win. You know, it's all in the same umbrella, but gotcha. You can see, you know, Hogan had these traits, you know. You know, he had to have the spotlight brother, you know. But that's going to wrap up the show. Thanks for sitting with us if you haven't, you know, you didn't hear this. But you know, this is Rich for James and Josh. This is One Nation Radio. Make sure you subscribe. We're some entertaining folks. Hit us up on Twitter at One Nation Radio. Email the show, radio1nation@gmail.com. Let's see if I can do this without botching. OneNationRadio.podomatic.com. And you can check out foreverwrestling.tumblr.com for show extras, memes, and everything else.
We forgot to mention Booker T's racist account of Hulk Hogan.
Oh my gosh! You know what? I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to play it. This is One Nation Radio. We'll holla at y'all. Peace.
I thank you very much, Booker T. We've seen the intensity of the matches here tonight. And I expect the same thing is going to happen in this four-quarter match.
Let me tell you something, Gene Okin. You out here talking about a clique. The only clique you need to know about is the Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry. See, because what you're dealing with here is the brotherhood. It's nonstop from this point on in WCW. We take what we want. And after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
I should point out for the record, Stevie Ray, look at this. Take a look. We're talking about the...